KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, we have mostly cloudy skies. It's 32 degrees. We look for it to be mostly cloudy today with a good chance of rain. Mainly later this afternoon, a high of 45. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by your independent insurance agents. In Elkhorn, see Terry Peterson at Insurance Services Incorporated, or call 712-764-6000. In Southwest Iowa news, catastrophic devastation. Those are the words Governor Kim Reynolds used to describe the carnage from the second major flood along the Missouri River within a decade.
You know, we've got towns that are shut down. We've got businesses that have been impacted. We've got individuals that are moving. We've got hospitals that are being shut down. You know, and you know, Iowans are hardy and we're tough and we know how to take care of ourselves. But after, you know, several times of this happening, it's just enough is enough.
Reynolds toured flood-impacted areas of Southwest Iowa on Monday with stops in Council Bluffs, Glenwood, Pacific Junction, and Hamburg. While in Hamburg, Mayor Kathy Crane told the governor that citizens fought valiantly, but water seeped through the barriers and swamped all but the northern portion of the community.
We had to give up the fight. We've never done it before. We go back from us to our father's generation, our grandfather's generation. We never gave it up, but had to today.
Flooding not only knocked out the city's water plant, but also Hamburg's city hall, fire station, and almost all the businesses in the community. The mayor says virtually all the equipment the city owned is gone.
We lost everything.
Yeah.
We have no equipment. We don't even have a lawnmower. But we look like leather, okay?
Yeah,
we're tough. We're going to be able to do this.
You guys are always tough. I know
We have two pickups left and a skid loader.
Governor Reynolds met with officials from Hamburg and Fremont County inside of an elementary school that's now serving as a temporary city hall. Reynolds also got updates on other communities, such as Percival, where floodwaters entered the community Monday afternoon. She also heard concerns about how this latest flooding incident will impact the local farming community. Fremont County Supervisor Dustin Sheldon said many residents were still recovering from the floods of 2011.
You're going to lose a lot of farmers financially because they can't recover from this. They've mortgaged farms, just now getting back to kind of where you can make a living again, and here it happens again. What do we do?
Sheldon and other officials say it's time for federal flood control policies to change. Others expressed anger that federal officials forced the city to remove fortifications to a levee, which helped to protect Hamburg during the 2011 flooding. The governor said she intends to review that levee issue.
To build something, invest, and then have them tell you you got to tear it down. I mean, just the frustration. There seems to be no common sense. There seems to be bureaucracy and red tape.
Reynolds said the state will come up with a plan to rebuild and recover.
We've got farmland that's been impacted. We've got bridges that we have to, you know, replace. We've got a secondary road system all across the state that's being impacted by the flooding. And so we have to figure out, you know, a strategy on that. How do we get the resources out to counties across the state that have been impacted by a tough winter, now flooding, and, you know, we got a long road ahead.
Interstate 29 has been closed in Southwest Iowa due to the flooding. Rivers in other parts of the state are elevated, and ice jams have been reported in places like the Cedar Rivers in Cedar Falls and the Iowa River in Iowa Falls. They were sandbagging efforts in Iowa Falls on Monday to try and protect that city's water supply. In local news, it appears that recent flood damage to the Schulberg Recreation Area was not as bad as feared. Interim Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Director Bryant Rasmussen told the Parks and Rec Board Monday evening that we went out there yesterday, expecting the worst, and it wasn't quite as bad as what we were originally thinking.
We do have some fencing that is knocked down at the dog park that we'll have to obviously replace.
About one-third of the chain-link fencing was destroyed there, and some poles were bent over. The damage is estimated at $10,000 to $12,000 for the dog park. Officials will see if a grant is available to help reimburse the cost for replacement fencing, dependent upon a state of Iowa disaster declaration for Cass County.
The docks are separated. The small dock over by the Rotary Shelter is free-floating, so we'll just have to fish that one back out. The big dock is up on the shoreline. The cement pillars that we're holding in place have been ripped out and stuff like that. So we will have to go in and assess what we need to do for that one.
Fortunately, he said, all of our trails are intact. All the riprap held up, so it's just going to involve routine cleaning after the flooding. Rasmussen did say that a portion of a walking trail off of Iowa Avenue at the Schulberg Rec area had part of the soil sediment ripped out of the backside, which will have to be replaced, but the trail is still there. The trail up to the new bridge is also fine, he said, just a little muddy right now. The Atlantic Little League Park also survived without any major damage. Rasmussen said the park will be opened up as soon as possible once all the inspections sections are complete. Parks advisor Roger Herring said the best part was that there was no structural damage to the levees around the Schildberg Parks area.
I think the thing that we were both really pleased with, if you could be pleased from the flood, that there wasn't any structural damage, major structural damage to any of the levees. And even as we could tell, even over the equalization pipes between Lake 2 and 3, those it went up over the top of that, and yet it didn't destroy and wash out around them or anything else. So that part of it was just, we were really shocked at that. We were concerned that there was just going to be some major earthwork that we're going to have to do. That is not the case.
On a related note, the Schildberg Park campground area is tentatively expected to open April 1st, weather permitting, of course. In the funeral announcements, Ray Zelmer, age 76, of Wyota, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Ray Zelmer will be today at 10:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bill Getzinger, age 67, of Westphalia, died March 13th in Harlan. A massive Christian burial for Bill Getzinger will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Ida Heim, age 95, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for Ida Heim will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Randall Sullins, age 90, of Casey, died Friday in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Robert Randall Sullins will be held Wednesday at 11 a.m. at the Casey United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Verla Fulton, age 93, of Oakland, died Friday. Graveside services for Verla Fulton will be this Friday at 10:30 at the Thurman Cemetery in Thurman. Lus Hills Funeral Home of Carson has the arrangements. Eleanor Hoover, age 81, of Atlantic, died March the 9th. Memorial services for Eleanor Hoover will be Sunday at 1 o'clock in the Atlantic High School. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. And Lois Nelson, age 79, of Atlantic, died Saturday in Colorado. Services for Lois Nelson are pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by your independent insurance agents, Brocker, Carnes & Carnes, with offices in Atlantic, Anita, and Council Bluffs. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.